Well, good morning, everybody. It's my privilege to be here. And I want to take and first say that I hope to enlighten and educate you on some issues. But first, a little bit about who I am and what I've been through. My wife and I, we've been in Washington since 2002 and in Skagit County since 2003. We really love it here. We came from Central California, Sierra Nevadas. And we like this area primarily because it's you got the best of all worlds. I mean, you can go kayaking in the morning and skiing right now on the mountains in the afternoon. And that was really, really a beautiful thing to be here. I've had challenges throughout my life, but I was a rescue firefighter, volunteer in California for 18 years. I was I'm a veteran in the force. Right at the height of the Cold War during the Reagan administration. I also had worked for several different businesses and different types of things, but also I've owned my own businesses. And we had the opportunity to move up here in 2002 for a job. And that was into OMAC, and we go, well, and we soon found out and spent time in Eastern Washington before eventually coming to Anacortes and Skagit County. And we've been here in Skagit County ever since. Our first stint with being homeless was in 2004. We spent a period of time homeless then, and was able to find employment again. And it was all because of being unemployed. I was managing a motel, a resident manager. And as such, when we were terminated, we had no place to live. And it took us a period of time before we were able to get a place to live, another job to work. And we did quite well. And then, of course, the housing bubble burst, and the whole thing that I was doing then with home maintenance and repair and remodeling and so forth. That went away real quick because nobody wanted to spend any money doing anything. So again, we found ourselves homeless. And then before I could find any real good job, my body gave out. And as such, the state declared me disabled. And so we had the dubious honor of fighting with the federal government, namely Social Security Administration. And that took place for 7 years before we were finally awarded SSI, because they determined my disability didn't in fact take place under their standards until after my eligibility for full disability had expired. So with that, we went from being in a tent to living in our vehicle to being in a room, somebody's house, couch in somebody's house, living in a travel trailer, living in a home. And it was a struggle, I'll be quite honest with you. And we were in a unique situation. We had no children. had no chemical dependency problem, had no mental health problem. So we were kind of falling through the cracks. Everywhere we went, they basically said, well, we're sorry, we can't help you. You know, and at the time, we weren't even senior citizens. And it was blow. And then, of course, we had pets, which was another big obstacle. So we took all that in stride. And by the grace of God, we made it through. And now, thanks to some main changes in the way the laws have been written and continuing to be rewritten, and the services being provided, and being a veteran, and they finally VA come on board and helped us out, and we're now in an apartment now finishing our second year, looking toward our third, and stability and bang. Now, a little bit about the homeless situation. What most people don't realize about the homeless situation is there's a dichotomy, especially here in Skagit County. We have a zero vacancy rate, especially when it comes to low-income housing. A vast number of individuals, well over 30,000 individuals in Skagit County. The 30,000 in Skagit County, well over 3,000 of those are in immediate need of low-income housing. Most, you know, portion of those are teetering, you know, spending as high as over 80% of their monthly income just to pay rent. And some of those... number varies, but it's approximately over 1,600 are homeless, whether they be sketchy homeless, couch surfing, living in a room in somebody's house, or living in a motorhome, or in a tent, out on the street, in a shelter situation, which we don't have any shelters per se anymore here in Skagit County due to the COVID pandemic. But the issue is over 1,600. Out of that number, over 900 are below the age of 18. And that is a tragedy. And these are numbers from before the pandemic. Since the pandemic, the numbers have actually risen, but nobody's been able to do a count because of the number one, stay home, stay healthy. Number two, the social distancing and all of that. So those numbers cannot be verified as to what they are, but we do know they're going up. People not being able to pay their rent, and the landlords, because they can't make their bills, put the property up for sale. It's sold, and the people had them to vacate with no place to go. And they're adding to that number. So it's a drastic issue. The truth of the matter is homelessness here in this country was a pandemic of a health emergency that we already faced. And what we've learned with the COVID issue is it's more important that we address the housing issue, because when they issued this order of stay home, stay healthy, these people had no place to stay. And that's part of what we've been doing past few years, is we've been advocating, like giving our story to the legislators and even the local politicians, informing them of the situation, educating them, introducing them to people that are going through this that are not what they portray on the news. They're not the drug addicts. They're not the severely mentally or behavioral health problem individuals. The major problem is we're having a growing number, and especially those over the age of 55 who are entering this realm, and those that have severe disabilities, they're entering this number, physical disabilities, and they got no place to go. And we need to drastically do it. We have a shortage of 3,000 units for accommodation, for housing, for those that are low income or excessive low income. My wife and I, we're on SSI each. And we make now over $1,100, almost $1,200 a month, compared to the $197 a month we got before we got SSI. Excuse me. So this was it's still not enough when our market rate rental is $1,450 a month here in Skagit County. And if we had to pay full, we wouldn't be able to do it. You know, it exceeds our monthly income. Unfortunately, we were got into a subsidized apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, and VA has a program that's similar to Section 8 that we were able to get into. So it's subsidized. We pay approximately a third of our income towards rent. So that was a blessing, but it's a small number of individuals that actually can get into that, because there's such a small number of units available. And the face of homelessness is changing drastically, and if things aren't done right now as a result of this pandemic, when all the restrictions and moratoriums are lifted, they're afraid that there's going to be a tsunami wave of homelessness. You know, they're talking here in Skagit County alone, somewhere in the neighborhood of an additional 1,500 people or being affected. And that's just a conservative estimate. You know, those are the numbers of people that their households have gone to community action to get emergency rental assistance. And if they're not able to pay back rent, they are looking at, they're going to be evicted when the moratoriums are lifted and with no place to go. And once they get evicted, it's a bad mark on their history, and then makes it even harder to get into a place. And the sad thing is it's a vicious circle. When you're homeless, you have no place, that have no residential address, it's hard to get a job. And if you don't have an ID, it's even worse, because you need an ID and you need a home in order to get a job. But you can't get an ID if you don't have a home, because state requires you to have a physical address before you can get an ID. So, you know, general delivery at post office doesn't work in those situations. One thing is a sad situation here in the pandemic that they found that they're trying to drastically rectify and help these people that are on the streets is the economic relief package that they have, typically known as the stimulus package for everybody. First, the $200 a month, and then the $600 a month. And now they're talking about possibly another $1,400 a month. Well, if you don't have an address to mail it to, physical address, the IRS won't send you a check. And you have to, if they don't, if they can't send you a check, then you can't get it. They're trying to get people out living in a tent or on the street or however, how to get them the money, because they drastically need assistance in this. And the stimulus checks could help them get off the get into a motel or into a situation for a month or two, depending on how much they get. Then because they have this motel voucher program that they have here that is only effectively helping a total in Skagit County, not just Mount Vernon, but Skagit County wide, 85 households. Mm-hmm. Out of that 85 households, the top number here in Mount Vernon area is 60. And the rest are divvied up between the county and Concrete and Anacortes. Well, you see, that's quite a big difference between what's going on with the actual numbers versus how many people are getting helped. And that's the only housing help that they have right now. And that's the modified shelter program that they're using right now, because due to the pandemic, they don't have the congregate or the open air room area like they had at the Seventh-day Adventist Church auditorium. They're a shelter because of the social distancing and the safeguards necessary. In fact, when the pandemic broke out last year, they shut the shelter early because they had an individual there contract the virus, and for health reasons, they shut down. And so it's quite an issue, and it's at the forefront, but nobody's wanting to talk about it. There's a lot of different solutions that are short term that can be implemented, but there long term solutions need to be done. There's a lot of legislation going on right now in Olympia, several bills that address not just homelessness, but housing and what to do with it, how to protect those that are in that situation or could be in that situation at the end of the pandemic and so forth. But they're looking at beyond as well. And one of the things that we've identified is, number one, the majority of these people, they don't want a handout. They want a hand up. They need a hand up. They're in a survival mode. They're living in the moment. They don't think about the future. They can't think about tomorrow because they're worried about where they're going to be tonight. They're consumed with it. It takes all their energy. If they have a health problem, that is that can exponentially increase the anxiety. If they have children, it will exponentially increase the anxiety. And nobody realizes that if, when they're living in a home, that without their home, their life falls apart. They have no safety. They have no security. They have no ability to plan ahead or be anything but concerned with the moment they're in. There's more crime committed against homeless than the homeless committing crimes. Those homeless individuals that are alcoholics or drug abusers typically were not that until they became homeless. And that was the only way they could face their problems, was to numb themselves to where they couldn't, you know, wouldn't face their problems. It's the only way they can do with it. You know, and a lot of them commit suicide. And that's because of the hopelessness that everybody faces in that situation. And it tried my wife and I's faith to go from basically 12 years without stability. And it, you know, every day wondering, well, is the hammer going to fall and it get worse today? But the thing was, we always had hope. We had hope that tomorrow things might get better, will get better eventually. And we're over that hill. We're over that hump. And the grandest thing that you can give a person in that situation, if you don't have the ability to see that they have a place to stay, give them an encouraging word. Provide them a hot meal. Or at the very least, a cup of coffee in this weather that we're having right now. It will go a long way with them. And listen to their story. And don't be making judgments based on your own preconceived ideas. Because there's a lot of myths out there that are being propagated in order to maintain a us versus them scenario. This was a problem created by a community, and it's going to take community to solve it. It's not going to come under one program to solve it. It's not going to come under one agency to solve it. It's going to take a collective effort. We started an organization called Welcome Home Skagit. It was originally Welcome Home Community Co-op. But because legal reasons, when we become an entity of a nonprofit, we had to change the name. So we adopted the name Welcome Home Skagit. And it was birthed out of the shelter. It was birthed out of a cooperation between community members and the homeless community in a way to provide a means for the homeless community to, number one, help themselves. Number two, have their story be known. And number three, to take and make certain that they could give back to the community in ways that the community wouldn't let them normally. Because a lot of these individuals, they just want to help. They just want to do something. And one of the messages we got is, we are not Seattle. We don't have that type of issue that they're pointing out in Seattle. We're Skagit County, it's Mount Vernon, Burlington, Cedar Woolley, Anacortes, and the number of the homeless here, over 80% of them came from here. They didn't come from anywhere else. And of the 20% that came from somewhere else, typically they come from Bellingham or Everett. Because being there is more difficult for them. Even though they may have better programs and more decent programs, there's also a higher crime against the homeless there. We've had individuals that have gotten physically assaulted, put in the hospital, and had all their belongings stolen by the individuals on the street because they're preyed upon. They're easy targets. Nobody thinks about the homeless. A lot of people will consider them, sad to say, less than human. And the truth of the matter is, the community is only as strong as its weakest member. And we can rise above this. We can share hope with these people. And we can give them a hand up to allow them to feel the dignity that they have lost. The hope that they desire and the love that they so desperately need. It is up to each and every individual to do what they can. And there are different programs here in Skagit implemented that aren't taking effect. There's a lot of things that can be done with those that are doing things. One thing, sadly, that this pandemic has done is it's knocked the wind out of the sails for our organization, Welcome Home Skagit. But we have the opportunity to rise above the challenge and to bear out the storm to survive this and provide a direction to go. There may be a lot of questions that you have. I'd be more than happy to answer those questions. However, the one thing I want you to take away from this is I don't want you to feel sad. I don't want you to be offended. I hope that you are educated. And to encourage you to take what's ever in your hand, it's what Peter said, as him and James were walking down the street in Jerusalem, and the beggar says, reached out and says, "Can you spare me some change?" And Peter turned around, and this man was lame. Peter turned around and says, "Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have, I freely give to you. Rise up and walk." And to me, that's an encouraging word. And we need to do that with these people that are our community. And they are everywhere. They're not in your backyard. They are, of course, in your backyard and in your front yard and the bushes across the street and the doorway down in the business district, on the stairways at the government building, under the underpass on I-5, or Riverside Drive. They're everywhere. Tents along the river. They might even be on the couch in your neighbor's house, or they might be that person at the supermarket behind the register. You don't know who they are, but they're there. And they're part of our community. and they just need not to be shunned, but to be recognized and respected, to give them the dignity that they so desperately have lost and need. So, with that, I will end. I'm starting to feel like I'm rattling on. So I hope I've enlightened everybody. Thank you very much.